everyone. Welcome to Righty's House. Hope you are all safe and well. Today we're going to talk Premier League and give out some flowers to Kobbie Mainoo and Conor Bradley. Chat about Neil Malpay's shithousery and a bit more. And my guest star, Ryan Hun and Flo Lloyd Hughes.
Shithousery.
Shithousery. It was shithousery. It was, you know what? It was, I didn't like his shithousery.
We've got to save that. That's, you can't go straight in with the main event.
Okay. Let's save that and come back to that.
It's float here.
What's happening, Flo Lloyd Hughes?
Not much.
No?
Just chilling. Quiet week.
Just being.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
Post-Butlins recovery.
It was a post-Butlins recovery. Butlins was pretty good.
Was it?
It was intense, but it was good. Lisa Mafia was my highlight.
Lisa Mafia
was really, really good. There was just a lot going on. I cried at
I
one
bet
point.
There was.
What was you crying for?
I was just really overwhelmed by the occasion.
Aww.
It was a bit like, I'll tell you what, the Saturday night with everyone in their musicals-themed fancy dress was a real... It was like going to a cup final at Wembley when you come out into the stands and you're just like, wow. I was just overcome by the joy of the occasion. Then we went into musicals, karaoke, and as you guys will know from our Righty's House film night episode, I love musicals.
You do.
I know you picked West Side Story. There were some West Side Story costumes there. It was just a beautiful moment and a beautiful thing. Mm. And it was slightly induced by my hangover, which made me feel a little bit more emotional. But I was just overcome with the joy of the weekend. And yeah, Lisa Mafia, what a woman.
She finished it off for you.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
She really did.
Sounds like sounds like the 2014 FA Cup semi-final. I had to leave my dad in Wembley to catch a train. He was just like, at the beginning of penalties. Because it went to, I had to leave the Wigan game. Because I had to get the last train back up to Manchester, and if I'd stayed for penalties, I would have missed it. So I was running down Wembley Way as the penalties were going. I had to leave my dad in Wembley. He wouldn't let go of my hand. I was like, Dad, I've got to go.
Oh, no.
Sounds exactly the same as Butlins.
Yeah.
Tears.
Real tears. Do you know who else are crying real tears?
Go on.
Mercedes fans.
Oh my gosh.
What a leg.
I saw.
What a segue.
Wow. Beautiful. But I saw when they were coming out of the meeting and everything.
Lewis Hamilton
confirms
he's going to Ferrari in 2025.
It had to happen.
That is a plot.
It's really cool,
isn't it?
That's
a plot twist I didn't see coming.
That's very exciting, I think. You know what? You look at Ferrari, and I'm not no expert on it, but I know one thing for sure. I'm a fan, massive fan, especially, you know, Lewis and that. Is that he's experienced. He's a great driver. Why wouldn't Ferrari take him if they can? I'm just surprised that Mercedes would ever let him
go. Did feel like one of those lifetime ones.
Yeah,
it's almost like Messi leaving Barcelona, you know? It's a strange energy because he is so renowned with them.
It's kind of like how, you know... When you see some players go to clubs and you're like, oh, really? Like, but they're not even that good anymore. How much legacy plays a part in it? Everyone on that grid secretly wants to drive for Ferrari.
Oh, God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you seen the film yet?
The Ferrari film?
No,
I've heard it's very good.
It must be good with him in it, Adam Driver. Adam Driver as well. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It's funny because I think, obviously, where Hamilton's come from, starting out with McLaren. Mm. So, like, typically British racing, those early successful years, then McLaren have kind of been through it a little bit. And then moving to Mercedes, where he had so much success because he had, like, the great technical team, the great support, the vibes were pretty good. And that's when his career hit another level.
Yeah.
And that he did so much away from the sport as well. He really became this kind of sporting icon and symbol, the stuff that he's done with like fashion and culture and everything. So now it's like, okay, what era of Lewis Hamilton are we going to get? Because this is going to be like sexy Italian Lewis Hamilton
era.
This is a whole different ballgame.
I want the fans, the likely Italian fans, take to Lewis being a driver now.
I mean, Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc, that's pretty rapid.
It sounds
pretty quick. Pretty rapid drivers. I mean, he's a legend. He's like one of the greatest drivers of all time. So
the respect will be there.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing for them. I think it's going to be sick.
Yeah.
There's no way
I'm not watching.
Enough.
I can't wait.
I know it's going to be amazing.
I'll watch that.
But I know it's because of the villain edit, but I just CBA with Red Bull. I mean, like Ian, I tap in and out of F1 and I kind of look at it from a distance, whereas I know like yourself and Maya like watch it a little bit more like religiously. But I just
wasn't
CBA.
A vintage season.
CBA with no. Red Bull. Yeah. Boring. And they're villains and I'm over it. So actually it would be a great comeback story and like defeat the horrible villains.
Yeah, and in the Ferrari.
Hamilton. Yeah, in the Ferrari.
In a Ferrari.
Reminds me of Cars, actually, the film. Great film.
Wow. Don't take me there. You know what I mean? Don't take me there. Unless you want tears.
I mean,
I love it.
Speaking of villains.
Go on.
Villain in Wolverhampton last night. Oh dear. This young upstart.
Are we talking about
Kobbie Mainoo?
Yes, we are. I liked watching that game. I like watching that game.
This is our first Flowers, by the way.
This is Flowers.
We're going to talk about the Premier League stuff with Flowers, and Kobbie Mainoo is the first.
He's got to get Flowers.
Game Flowers.
Because when you look at Man United, and it's always a case of Man United managing the ball and how they're going to play through teams instead of this counter-attacking thing, this counter-attacking system that they have. You know, all the wingers have to do so much work. With him and the way he controls the game and his temperament.
Dude, he's so calm.
18.
So calm.
18 at Manchester United and playing like that and then scoring a goal like that, his body moved, where he moved inside and finished it. I genuinely wanted him to win because you know what? When Harry came on, because he started making the changes, Harry came on and Johnny Evans came on and he's made those changes and then you think, oh my gosh, I hope they see this out. And then, which was really mean of them last night, when they scored.
When Wolves scored.
Yeah, when Wolves scored the foot. They flashed straight onto Harry Maguire.
Harry Maguire got the slow-mo. Yeah.
It's terrible.
They should have. I would have been okay with it if they'd also then shown a shot of him when
Kobbie Mainoo scored. You know what I mean? But they're not going to do that because they're trying to destroy him.
It would have been a good meme that, you know, they're kind of like,
you know? The kombucha girl.
Yeah. wild game of football, though. And
Carl was tweeting really after the game saying, I'm so sick of playing Wolves. But it's funny because on paper, this fixture should not be the chaos that it is. But in the last couple of years, it has been actually a really dramatic game that does deliver the goods. I don't know what it is about United playing Wolves recently, but they can't handle it.
Just two evenly matched teams.
Yeah, clearly. They get rattled. Gary O'Neill rattles that
team. He rattles people. Can I just say when Marcus scored his goal, when Marcus Rashford scored his goal, I don't know how I felt. I felt really happy and sad I just don't know how I felt because I was just pleased that he scored. You know, I don't know what he's going through. He looked really solemn. You know, he's not celebrating, he's scoring.
But I think that was intentional. It felt like he had to be no-nonsense. Yeah,
I don't mean like last night he's got to be like exalted and bam, running crazy. I just mean in general when he scores, he suppresses this unbelievable feeling what's meant to be coming out, which I only pray that people could witness. But like, I think he's running off and doing his thing and not letting out the joy out.
Some people Thierry used to do that a lot, didn't he? Just to kind of
when he did let it out and he really...
But do you think it's like, you know, sometimes the best strikers don't celebrate, like the best players don't sing the anthem? Kind of
like, no, I just, you know
but
what
but
it
I
is?
Also, I think he's in a place, and this is what I felt last night, where if you just know people are watching your every move, I think it does subconsciously play on your celebrations. Yeah. And I think what was so good about the celebration that he coined last season, pointing to
what did it
temple,
mean?
I think it was, you know, like it's the headspace. It's like, I've still got it. It's that sort of like mind games, literally mind games pointing celebration. And I think that became iconic in its own right. And I think people expect him to do that. And now I think he's trying to be more focused and composed in what he's doing. And he knows he's being watched. Obviously, there's all the stuff going off the pitch, which I think makes it like, it's just such a sort of cocktail of madness.
It's a shame because the joy is scoring a goal since you're children. And now, like, it's a good point you make there, Flo, in the way that everything about him, especially in this time, in this moment, is microscopic. It's all over him. And that is a shame because, like I say, I can only think back when you score goals of importance or goals that save a game or goals that win a game or goals in a big game. And honestly, I can't explain how you feel. And for that to be suppressed, especially with everything he's going through, I just feel like at some stage when you get older, you're going to probably think, you know what, I wish I'd enjoyed that more.
Also, to be fair, scoring five minutes in, think about what happened to Neil Mopai. So you have to be careful. Oh, yes. You don't want to go too early. You don't want to go too early to be fair to Marcus Rashford.
It's just business as usual. Like, yeah. He's come back in, he scored, and he's just like, right, you know. And then what, Man United take, go 2-0 up with that Højlund goal.
Yeah.
It was a great shot of that from behind the ball as it rolls in. Hoyland's kind of like on the floor, just kind of going, yeah, like with his arms out, like, just like kind of trapped on the floor with it. But this kind of, this game reminded me a little bit of Galatasaray away. You know, when Man United take a 2-goal lead and it's just calm. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
calm.
It's way too calm that first half. And the thing that was really funny, there were a load of tweets from Man United fans kind of along the lines of, let's see how we mess this up in the second half.
They know.
They're bringing that bad energy. Don't bring that bad energy.
Yeah. It's like, it's too calm here. Something's going on.
I think going back to Kobbie Mainoo, they're going to have to now find a way to play through this guy. He's got to be the one that gets on the ball and keeps things moving. Bam, give it back here. Da, da, da. And then Man United's forwards can start making runs. I'm not getting it there. Instead of staying, get the ball, get it wide, one-on-ones to try and beat people, get the ball in the box. They need now for me to build up through someone like him.
It was really interesting and funny as well, seeing Rasmus Højlund's interview afterwards with TNT, and they asked him about, you know, Mainoo as a talent. And he said something that really made me laugh, and it's definitely like a lost in translation thing, but he was like, oh, I wasn't there in pre-season, obviously, but I spoke to a lot of the lads and they said this guy's really good, like this kid is the future, he's a once in a generation player. And then he said he's got a great body type, and I just thought that made me think of, like, you're really looking at someone like, I like your body. He's got a great body type, but it's true, like he does,
he's got a mature vibe,
he's almost got it all.
He has
got it all.
He didn't go too wild in the celebration at the beginning, just did the kind of like calm. I've got this, but if you actually go back to his goal and you look at where he picks the ball up,
he played it in first, didn't he? Remember? I know, it's beautiful,
it's unbelievable,
it's the balance, like, it's
the freeze frame that people were doing on Twitter of where he picked it up and the run that he goes on, and the fact that he sort of loses his balance and has to pick it back up again
because he's going
and then come inside
his
again.
The natural flow is to go to the left, the way his body's shaping, but his body was already turned to the right, and then he was able to move the ball and move into the right as well. And then just come and bent it round. It was like 18.
So good.
18, and especially after, like really, really phenomenal stuff.
Especially after what? Pedro Neto scored that amazing goal to equalise on the 95th minute.
And now it's like that one's just completely forgotten, basically.
That was so good.
Can we give a quick shout out to Scott McTominay as well?
Because absolutely.
One chance.
Hey.
Listen.
One chance, one goal,
all
Scott.
It takes.
When he came on, there was a lot of like, oh, what are these subs all about, kind of thing. And Scott McTominay is just like, bang
bro. Should have scored another one as well.
Yeah. So Manchester United winning 4-3. Is this one of the games of the season so far, do you think, in the Premier League? Or second halves of the season, maybe? You needed a better first half, maybe?
It's weird. I think it falls at a strange time because it came at the end of a big week of midweek games. And I think people had sort of forgotten about this one. And I think it made itself known with the result and the performance, but I don't think anyone looked at it expecting it to be quite as entertaining. Everything came quite late on, but I still don't think it's one of the best ones of the season. I still think
good late drama.
But you know, can I just say, just quickly, for Wolves, from Wolves' point of view, that third goal was unbelievable. How quickly they opened them up. That pass from Lamina, I think it was.
They're a good team.
They really went bang, bang, bang. And they were in.
I love Gary O'Neill. I love what he's doing there. And I'm excited for them next season.
I'm excited for them next season.
Another good, will they keep, you know,
Neto?
Good summer.
Will Neto stay?
I mean, they've lost players and managed to withstand it. Jimenez is now, like, you know, has struggled a little bit at Fulham. Mm. So I think they've done okay with having had their players poached.
I genuinely, every time the ball's going to him, felt you get that buzz. You know, he's that player, isn't he? Makes you feel like, oh, something's going to happen when he gets on it.
Yeah, it's just, it'd be good to see him staying fit for a little while. He's had some real injury problems. Manchester United are now seventh. 35 points, minus 4 goal difference.
Yeah. Nearly hit the magic 40 to make themselves safe.
Not safe yet.
They're
not safe yet. More flowers?
Yeah, let's go. Where we go?
Hey, this right back Liverpool guy is pretty good.
Hey, Conor Bradley, bro.
Conor Bradley.
Do you remember when he came on for Liverpool and he marked Martinelli? you're thinking to yourself, wow, because Martinelli always causes Liverpool problems. And when he came on, you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're bringing on this young guy to deal with Martinelli, who always cooks them a bit, who always kind of seasons them up. And he just like kind of locked him down a bit. In fact, not a bit, he locked him down. And so you keep an eye on him. But then you think, okay, let's see how he plays. And you see him playing out of defence, see him getting forward, getting crosses in. Got a goal and a really good assist in that game as well.
Well, yeah, one good assist, one generous assist.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of Diogo Jota bundling to do before he got it in.
Yes, but the cross for Szoboszlai's goal was,
oh my God,
was brilliant. But his goal as well.
What did you said something on Match of the Day about this. Was it you who said it? Didn't need to do anything, just need to head it or something. I can't remember. Well,
it was brilliant because the cross was so precise and it came with such pace. All you literally need to do is make sure that your head's facing the goal.
Boink.
You don't have to put anything on it.
No.
Or you sometimes see strikers like the one I'd probably say is, remember when Jesus missed that header when it was coming over and he had time and he had to try and get...
Which one?
Oh.
Wow, Flo.
Wow.
Sorry, come on.
You just couldn't stop yourself.
Come on. Really?
Wow, Flo.
Come on.
We'll have a chat afterwards.
Big talk for a QPR fan.
We'll have a chat afterwards.
I mean, we're all thinking it.
No.
I actually wasn't.
I was just going to try. I'm just using it as an example. The thing is that when you get a cross that's precise and it's a Beckham cross, they take the hardship out of the finish. Mm. It makes the finish easier. So all Szoboszlai's got to do now is come on and just connect it with his head because the cross is so good, so much power in that, bam, you just direct it on goal. And it was fantastic. Really, really was. But he's all-round play.
So good.
Defensively, offensively, passing into midfield. It's just like they found another unbelievable right back.
The ability that Liverpool have just to slowly slot these...
The factory is elite. Like, yes.
And that's been a major thing that Klopp has been able to do really, really consistently.
But also, I think this is where other clubs can learn, is Liverpool use the EFL loanee system so well, or not the system, but loaning out players and so well.
Yeah.
And they've always been one of the best teams at that, and knowing when's the right time, how long, when to get them back, when they're ready. You look at all, like, so many of those players that come through from Elliot. Remember seeing him play at Blackburn Rovers and I was like, this guy is way too good. This is so unfair. It's a cheat code. Same with Bradley as well.
Yeah, he had a great time with Bolton, didn't he? Yep.
I watched him against Norwich in the FA Cup in the midfield, McConnell, and again, they found another one. In the way he was playing, Bradley got man of the match in that Norwich game as well, I think.
Oh, really?
And he got man of the match because I think, I know, McConnell got taken off, but like he had a brilliant game.
Mm.
He had a brilliant game, but obviously, Conor Bradley, they're probably in contract talks now.
It's a proper player.
A real player they found there. It's going to be interesting now with Trent, because obviously Trent starts on the right, comes inside, and you know that Klopp, he's never played him in the middle, has he?
I don't think he's started in midfield, has he?
He's not started, so it's going to be interesting to see now, because that's a great problem to have. And
who next?
In what respect?
Well, Klopp, you're saying, what does Klopp do? But he's only
Thomas Frank's got a hell of a squad to take over there when he goes there.
No, Klopp's done that with Bradley McConnell. He's thrown him in and said, listen, I got a bounce, man, at the end of the season. So you lot...
Someone else deal with this.
Yeah, you lot deal with this for next season, because like he's got some players on his hands there.
Liverpool were very, very good in this game. Mm-hmm. Chelsea were not very good. But also, Paul Tierney definitely has a Twitter account. Or at least a burner, because he's sick of all the Liverpool fans saying that he's got a Liverpool bias, anti-Liverpool bias.
You know something? There's no
I
way.
I call it out refs, but some of the decisions in this game was...
Terrible. Virgil van Dijk.
The penalty stuff was...
Yeah. I mean, Virgil van Dijk got away with
ridiculous.
Two.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. That one on Nkunku. The second... What about Nkunku's finish, by the way?
Oh, amazing.
I've been so impressed with him because he hasn't got a lot of game time because of the injury problems. But every single time he comes on, he does something.
He can come in so cold in games
and bam, I think next season he's going to have a really good season.
Our fingers crossed for him, but that was a penalty. And you think to yourself...
The one on Nkunku was a penalty.
Yeah,
I think the one on Gallagher was a penalty as well.
Because Virgil, he caught him there.
I get it, but I still think it's a little bit light. But I think it could be.
Wolves was light. Last night, Wolves is light.
Yeah, that was not a penalty. That was very
soft. How can Virgil's two in that game not be penalties?
I think the Gallagher one is less so, but the Nkunku one, yeah, 100%.
I think when you slow stuff down, though, it doesn't look like you're travelling at the speed that you're actually travelling at, and a slighter touch can really knock you off.
Not the touches I'm seeing at the moment.
Well, I was talking about the Gallagher one. I think that was enough for a penalty.
So full speed, I was like, maybe, and then replay, I was like,
so
no.
Can we just quickly go back on the Wolves? One.
Got to trust the full speed one.
Yeah. Can we go back to the Wolves Man United, please?
Sure.
That's never a penalty.
That's never a penalty. We agree.
Years. And so,
are you saying pen?
I think we need to
change everybody who's operating VAR. It's not VAR. It's them.
I enjoyed
they're getting it wrong.
I enjoyed Rio Ferdinand saying VAR needs to have a look at itself before realizing what you said. There was just like other people that are doing the. I had this vision of I think I put it in the group. Just, you know, the bit in Interstellar at the end where all the bookshelves are Stockley Park.
No, I imagine the Spider-Man meme, but it's like two monitors. Just pointing at each other, being like, "Hey, you."
But anyway, now it's gonna take a while before Liverpool fans can start saying that Ball Tierney has anti-Liverpool.
Oh my gosh! I just don't. You know what? It's really frustrating because it spoils it.
But to be honest, Liverpool played so well, though. I'm not entirely sure it would have.
They've got to do more, Ryan.
I know, but I mean,
it's not good enough.
I'm not going to worry about Premier League VAR anymore. It's not a real league. It's fine.
Right, don't say that about my league, bro.
It's not the Hunders League.
Don't say that about my league.
Don't say that about my league.
Don't say that about my league, bro.
I'm just saying, like, listen.
That's like when you're young, if you said something about someone's mum, say, don't say anything about my mum. That's the vibe I'm giving you.
But it is. Don't say anything about my mum. It's a silly league.
I'm embarrassed by our referees.
It's got all Arteta. Embarrassing.
my manager, I'm embarrassed by them.
But I was quite impressed at how Pochettino didn't even really mention the decisions in the post-match interview. Just like they were better than us.
I think it's embarrassing if you lean on that. Because they weren't so bad.
What's the vibe like? Because my Chelsea people, like my guy Ollie, and you know what I mean, the man, Dan, my Albanian mates, and that all Chelsea fans, they don't know about Poch now. Is he under pressure?
I think he was under pressure at earlier points in the season, but I think he's bought himself a bit of time now They've had some good runs at times. I think the problem is they're too stop-start.
Speaking of runs, there was that thing where and the same thing happened, I think, when he went to Spurs, was that all of a sudden Chelsea became, I think, like the highest running team in the league under him, and like their work rate massively improved. I think the problem that you have is that you've got a collection of players that are really expensive who have been bought without any sense of like long-term strategy apart from making money back on them. They're more of an asset than they are of a player. And I think you look at the configuration of that squad, there are really good players in there and there's a really good core in there, but there's so many players that have been bought recently. It's hard to figure out a balance and who, I don't know, it doesn't feel like a real, it feels like almost like, you know, when you start a game of Football Manager, or like, you know, people used to cheat, right? And then all of a sudden you've got all this money, you just buy all these players and none of them fit together. And it's just a bit like, I'm not saying Chelsea cheated, I'm saying you cheat on Football Manager.
Okay, cool.
But just to clarify, Mina, it just kind of feels like that. It feels like there's, I actually think that it's worth sticking with Pochettino because I think there are signs there of the impact that he can have. Like, and I think they really need a good run with Nkunku in there because he is that good that he will be.
He can be the difference maker. I think the biggest concern for Chelsea fans is the midfield, because with that talent, they don't understand why it's not working.
Yeah.
And I think I would feel the same way. You think of all coaches and you think a coach like Pochettino can make that work, but they look so light and so messy.
I thought that by now, with Mudryk, with his pace and we'd be seeing a lot more now. I think we should be seeing a lot more from him. He still looks exactly the same as when he first came onto the football pitch at Chelsea. I'm not seeing that improvement. That's a worry. Poch with the pace and with what he's got, the skill and the pace he should have improved as a player. Knowing what he's doing now, if he's going to come inside, he's going to go outside, if he's going to slow himself down, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? he should be seeing these signs now. You should be seeing them, and you're not seeing them still.
Also, I'm not saying that they've got a good chance in that cup final. I think a cup final is going to be tough, but they've had a practice run now, so they can maybe troll their way to a penalty shootout. And a cup final in your first season, maybe not the worst thing in the world.
I don't know. Against Liverpool, with Klopp leaving, I can't see.
I can't see it either. Yeah. But what I'm saying is maybe they learned some lessons from that embarrassing show midweek. I think their run to the final, you know, the draw was pretty good to them. But at the same time, I still think that, like, if they pull off something over Liverpool, that would be massive.
They're going to have to.
Liverpool are scaring me at the moment.
Liverpool are terrifying. Yeah.
They're ominous. Mm.
Looking forward to Liverpool. No, Arsenal, Liverpool. It's Arsenal, Liverpool. At home.
We have to win the game. It's just.
It's a must win.
Yeah, we must win. You know what I mean? I think getting the 3 points at Forest, which I'm really pleased we did in the end, because I thought we was very dominant in the game. You know what I mean?
And what, 73% possession?
I think it's 81%. Was it? 81%. I remember I was at Premier League doing it. And what was good about it is that we never stopped trying to do what we were doing, but it just felt like the chances. Like I said, Matt Turner is somebody that has to be pressured, whether he's trying to play out or whether you're getting the ball into the box to him, whatever. And he's doing okay in the first half, but I'm saying we've got to put him under more pressure. That's all
that,
it is.
But what worried me was the dominance that Arsenal had. The chances weren't as good as that Liverpool FA Cup game, but I was getting flashbacks to that game. Obviously, you're not playing a team like Liverpool who can unpack you in transition and punish you. Forest,
they should have been able to.
But like Arsenal had so much of the ball and just weren't creating good enough chances with it.
Yeah, but I also think that's because this is a Premier League side who is defending really, really well and has a clear game plan against a side that they're expected to lose to. And I think it turns into one of those kind of training drills that you have to be patient. I think actually it stops being as much about technical ability and starts becoming about mental ability as well, because when you don't, it can be really easy for sides just to be wasteful in possession when they're getting impatient. I think what Arsenal did quite well was they kept waiting for the, you know, giving up a good chance for a better chance, or giving up a good pass for a better pass to create an opportunity. And that's why it felt, I think, in the first half, it was very much like Arsenal were waiting for a Forest like error.
They were too camped into.
Yeah, but you're rarely going to get that in the first half again, as any Premier League side really now, because of the wealth and stuff like that in there. They're all really good teams, and they can defend really, really well, even the bad teams, right? Or quote unquote bad teams. But I think that's why you started to see it more chances in the second half, because not having the ball for that amount of the game is really tiring.
Very tiring.
And that's where you start to see the errors happen, and you just got to wear teams down. And I was kind of fine with that. I think it could have been three before Forest had the Irony goal, and that just made it a little bit nervy. But I think overall, man, I think it's
I think
fine.
Forest, if they look back at that on the Monday, the video, I would have made it a more physical game. I know we've got Saliba and we've got Gabby at the back, and you know, got Declan, we've got physical presence. But I saw on a few occasions with Chris Wood, once the ball went in, he'd done very, very well. And the way they were trying to deal with him, they were really tight on him. They didn't want him to really tight. And I'm thinking to myself, he could cause problems if Forrest can get the ball up there. I think their game plan should have been get the ball up there early, play there, win the second ball, and put Arsenal under pressure in that way. Get Arsenal going back ways. I thought that that's how they would have done it. And there's a couple of occasions, like I say, Chris Wood done very well with what he was doing. They didn't get to him quick enough, so we were able to then get the ball and go back again. But like, you could see how the physical presence of him for them two, for Saliba and Magalhaes, was, they were like, okay, they should have took advantage of that. But they're still trying to play out. Yeah. Even that second goal, you know, he had a 5-yard pass to his left. He's trying to play into somewhere, Montiel. And we cut it out, and then Jesus done very well, put it in Saka. But I just thought to myself, what are you not watching? Why wouldn't you see that this is the way to play against us? You're not going to have the ball. So when you do get the ball, why are you still trying to play out of the back? Get it up front, get everybody in around them, and then put Arsenal under that kind of pressure. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I understand when teams have got a lot of the ball, continuing those patterns and getting the ball out, because we know why teams play out, and we know that it creates kind of like passing lanes and an ability to get beyond the kind of opposition, and it's fine. Like, I think that But with Forest, like you said, I think the way to Arsenal, if they are vulnerable, it'll be when they are camped in the opposition box and they just get hit on the counter.
Yeah.
And we've seen it happen, like it happened with West Ham, right, as well. Yes. That was like a couple of times. And they've got the players to do it, Forest. I was a bit disappointed that they made, I'm not disappointed, but I think from as a neutral perspective, it was disappointing that Forest didn't do that more. But I also just think Arsenal, even in the games that they've lost this season, I don't think they've been dreadful. Mm. And they are just all in all a little bit more solid. I've got a quote though from, that I wanted to read you.
Go on.
Which was after the game. We were very dominant in the game. We played well. We deserved to win. But it just felt like it might be one of those days where it might not happen in front of goal.
See,
that's not Mikel Arteta. That was Ian Wright on Match of the Day.
I thought that was Mikel. That's why I said to Flo when you started reading. That's me. That's me saying it.
I was watching Match of the Day on this morning just to catch up because I was like, I want to see what Wright said. And when that quote came out, I was like, this is incredible. I thought it was supposed to be. Where's the fair and balance?
Where's the
BBC?
Neutrality? Yeah.
But you know, can I be honest? It's very difficult, and I'm not going to try and
make
excuses. No. I'm just making excuses. But like, it's very difficult to do an Arsenal game and watch an Arsenal game when there's so much on the line for an Arsenal supporter, Arsenal fan, and then you see them playing like that, and then you know you see, oh gosh, it's going to be one of those games. That's exactly what I was thinking. I think a lot of people were thinking that, but like, if it wasn't going right, I would still say, you know that, you know what I mean? It's just like, this is why I'm saying with Liverpool on Sunday, it's a must win. And that's the way they've got to go into it. And they've got to go into it, try and beat Liverpool. Can't try and like, if they do this, we'll do. Go and beat them. Go and beat them. You know, that's how we should be approaching that game, because they're coming to beat us. They're top. They'll probably take a point, but they're coming to beat us if we ease off of anything. And this is why the game's so well balanced, because I think they will punish us in certain instances.
And also, I think because of that FA Cup game, they know that if Arsenal do dominate parts, they will feel confident that they will
take the chances
that come their way, because they've done it before and they'll do it again.
You shush, Flo. They won't do it again.
No, I think...
I know you went for that really like...
No, I'm going to be there with my girlfriend on Sunday, and I think when Arsenal are at home and they can harness the crowd early and build confidence and get an early goal, I think they're a very hard team to play against. I think it's when they have chances and don't score and the crowd understandably become nervous and edgy because they've seen that before and they've seen where it's gone, that becomes difficult. But I think when they get the crowd on their side early, the atmosphere is good, there's excitement, there's chances and there's a big goal early, I think that's a hard team to play against.
Yeah, but what about the fact that our team's got to try and play with the knowing that Flo Lloyd uses in the crowd with pure negative energy now.
Hey, lest we forget, when you guys pulled off that huge comeback against Bournemouth, I was not only the only one in the group chat that believed, I was like the only person in the stadium that believed. There were people leaving and I was like, guys, you're going to win this game. You're going to win this goal. My girlfriend was like, it's over. I said, you're going to win this game. So
I always believe.
Some of us, you know.
Well, your credits run out with that one.
Quick question. Emil Smith-Rowe started this game.
So pleased for him.
Did
I wanted
very well.
To finish. Yeah,
was really good. Yeah. It was really good.
Do you think he'll start Sunday?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so because...
Do you think he's earned it then?
It's not okay.
Harbert's off the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Simply because you could see he's somewhere now. What he wants to do. He wants to get on the ball. He wants to play into those holes, do his 1-2s. And I think that's what we need. We need a little bit more of an injection on the left side from someone like him who wants to get on it, get it, go, move, get inside the box. I think we need him. We need him to be playing now. And to have a run, fingers crossed his injury issues are over now, whatever it is, because he looked pretty sharp in certain instances. You're thinking, yeah. But then when he came off, I'm thinking, I would like to have seen him play on, but you don't want to risk. Just in case he has got plans for him. But I'm just pleased to see him back involved.
Yeah.
I'm pleased to see him back involved because I'm tired of the narrative of what's happened? What has he done? Why isn't he playing? And now he's back. You know what I mean? Hopefully he can play some really good games. We can get an interview out of him and he can find out what's been happening. Why have you been away from the first team for so long? What happened? Hopefully we can find out because we need him. He's at his best now, especially for where we are now. Liverpool, with the Klopp thing, what's happening. They look like they're a team that's going to be something to contend with. And we know City are starting to, for me, look like they're maybe in their run now. You know, so we need everything we can get right now just to stay in touch with those lot.
Liverpool at home, West Ham away, next two games. Then Burnley away before the Champions League returns.
See, now, I don't want to draw those games. I want to win. I want us to beat Liverpool. I want us to beat West Ham. I'll take a point from West Ham away if that's the case.
It'd be weird if you didn't want us to beat West Ham.
No. Away from home, I just don't want us to lose. Mm. I think we're more than capable of beating them. I just don't want us to lose. And then obviously Burnley, we've got to win. But now we've got... Because that's what City are doing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the better approach to have would be to really just hone in and focus on yourselves, because City and Liverpool are going to do what they're going to do. Mm. They're probably not going to drop that many points now towards the rest of the season, but you kind of just need to not worry about that and make everything so insular and focused on what Arsenal are going to do and the points that they're going to pick up and how they're going to play and the perfection that they're going to drive. Forget about everyone else. Forget about the chase. Just focus on, right, if we continue to be consistent, where will we finish come the end of season?
Yeah, but at the same time, that's for the players. You'd love the players to hopefully be in that mindset flow, because that's the mindset they need to be in. But from a fan's point of view, you're worrying about everything. I'm worried about everything. I'm still worried about if we do get chances against Liverpool, will we take them as we sit here now? Because at the moment, we're not ruthlessly taking chances. And we're not creating as many as, like, even against Forest, didn't create many until it started to open up second half. But I just think we just need, in this stage of the season going on forward, which will happen for Liverpool and City, they'll be clinical because they will recognise that we can't be messing around here. We've got to get this done, and we need to get into that mindset. And that's why the fans, for me, and me personally, I can't really speak for the fans, I'm nervous about that.
Moose and I did the Tuesday's games on Stadio. So if you want to hear some chat about Tuesday's Premier League games, go and check Stadio out.
Nice one, bro.
There you go.
Let's do that.
Should take a quick break?
Yeah, let's go.
Can we talk about the darts? Because, look, I've got three pictures up behind you.
Yeah.
You got one, you got two,
yeah.
You got three.
Is he doing darts as well? Richarlison
dropped the dart as well.
It's an epidemic. It's a darts epidemic.
Do you think this is... It's either Luke Littler fever, or is basically...
No, I'm kidding.
I know what it was. But is this? Do you think this is the game where there have been the most dart celebrations?
Easily.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah? Three separate dart celebrations.
If Opta did a celebration data tracking, yes, 100% this would win out.
Do you also think this has been the longest run of dart celebration without a James Maddison goal involvement?
Yes,
it's true.
100%.
But can we just talk about the Neil Mopay shithousery?
Yeah. So, what, because this is Brentford's first goal.
Brentford's first goal. Yeah. So I can't understand why people are going. Why would you go for James Maddison's?
It's because Neil Mopay has main character energy. We should all know this by now. The man wants to be the pantomime villain.
He is.
And it's hilarious because he nearly always ends up with egg on his face.
He does. It's like
always.
It's
quite funny. It's like I kind of respect it.
It's like clockwork.
But he even had to take it to Instagram.
Yeah.
When it was done. You lost the game. Why are you still here?
So he did that Instagram post where he was just like, went a bit early with that one, and kind of like emoji. Yeah. But then the third slide was just a load of like Cillian Murphy's despairing face in Oppenheimer.
What was going on with that? What is that post about, bro?
Yeah, but this is what I love, right? Because not since the early days of social media, like now everything is much more curated, people's team and everything publish it. And maybe he did get some help with this from his team, whatever. But I love when football players still go so back to basics, like their kids on MySpace, and just go full, like, I'm going to post anything that's in my camera roll.
Brennan Johnson's one was pure year nine.
Yeah, right. Literally.
On the run, with a dart.
Must have a compass, you're going to launch dickhead. Him.
But can I be honest, with what he's done in this instant, Neil Mopay, is he's away from home, right? He scored the goal, very fortunate goal as well. He went with his right foot, he went in with his left. Right. And then you do that celebration, James Maddison's celebration,
It's only going to go one way.
Five minutes. You know, you think to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to do anything.
This is why we said Rashford shouldn't do it. This like, you need to be cool.
You need to just, like, for me, just celebrate. Don't go in Tottenham Stadium and try and troll their main man. And then, you know what? when they scored and then they all, you could see Tottenham players like saying, where is he? Where is he? But like, what I didn't like about Mope is that Madison got him because Madison's, have you got Madison's, what he said, the response about?
On Instagram.
He hasn't scored enough goals. Yeah. So he hasn't really got his own celebration while he's using mine. And his comeback was so, instead of just saying, you know what? I started that shit. And you know what I mean? It kind of got, like you say, Flo, egg on my face. You take that. You say,
yeah,
right,
you take
okay.
The L.
But for him to say that and then go on Instagram to talk about, I haven't had any relegations in that. You think to yourself, you're not a banter, you can't banter, mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't do it. You can't, don't give it if you can't take
Who's
it.
Who's playing for their national team and who isn't?
Oh, burned.
No, but also true, like, Neil Maupay,
no, your place,
I think
man.
Has already no. always been a little bit I mean, too big for his boots, I
think. So.
I mean,
he's not getting into Sean Dyche's Everton team. He's on loan at Brentford where he had success. But like, it's not like he is this big time, huge star and player. I would say on paper, James Maddison is taking his career to higher heights than one Neil Maupay.
Like, at the end of the day, no one who is in that absolute top tier elite level is going to be fucking around with that. Apart from Bukayo Saka, who did the dart celebration. But he did it at home.
Yeah.
I think there were players who were shithouse and you're like, okay, respect because I mean, you are who
derby,
you are. You're an elite level player.
But Saka and Madison are mates. So.
Yeah, they are. And they're friends from England camp and it's different. It's like no love lost. You know
what I liked as well? Like, you could see the running back because like when he's running past him or something, they'd say something. I know the vibe because it's the kind of vibe I'd be on.
That first half, it contributed to that first half, which was like, I mean, Ange Postecoglou said it afterwards where he was just like, yeah, we kind of lost our discipline and we let that, the stoppages, and it was like everything was taking forever and the Spurs fans were getting really annoyed and it felt like, I mean, it literally was a game of two halves in terms of like style as well. The second half was so much more fun.
They got the whip from the second half, Tottenham.
Spurs like absolutely cooked them in that second half. They were brilliant. Like, you're seeing like, but the same with Manchester United to a sense, although I think that it always happens, like, you flow up with that thing in the group where it's just like, we are back. We're so back. Like,
we're
graph,
so
kind of.
Back.
So
graph.
Over.
We're so graph. Back.
That's Manchester United to a T.
We're back. We're so back. Oh, we're
but
we're
the
back.
Fact that Spurs managed to hang in there with all of those injuries now.
Yeah.
And now they're getting people back and they're starting to add a little bit more depth again. New signings as well. They look like...
And the thing with
so
Richarlison, with Richarlison as well, I always said, once he's sorted himself, sorted his groin out and he's got a manager...
Yeah, the surgery, right?
He's the kind of guy that can just go. He can go on those runs where he'll score goals. He's that guy away from home that you can guarantee will annoy the away fans, annoy people and nick the goal as well. He's ready to go now. Tottenham, if they can get them, get Saar back, get them all back, they're going to be... Saar, get Bissouma back. They're gonna cause problems for teams.
Yeah, I want to say of that top five, because I think Aston Villa and Spurs are still level on points. So I'm going to keep Aston Villa in that conversation for top
four. Even after what you saw the other day?
But I think Tottenham out of City, Arsenal and Villa, like, I think Spurs look like they could have a really strong second half of the season. They look like they're going to build and build and build with all that ammo back now.
And do you worry about Villa?
I just think it could turn into something. I do worry about Villa, especially midweek. I thought that was really disappointed.
Yeah,
but I do think out of that group behind Liverpool, I think Tottenham could do something.
Yeah. I think you've got to think like what's... Champions League would be above what Villa would have expected.
Oh yeah,
even
for Villa,
in a really
good
season this season.
Yeah, but the way they've started the season, and you might get in with five places.
Yeah.
That is something worth.
I mean,
going
if there's
for.
If there's five places there, then that top five, I think, is kind of as is. I can't see. I'm not entirely sure that West Ham or Manchester United will overhaul that many sides in that top.
You know, four. You know the thing with Villa. What's great about it is that you're having a great season up to this point, and all of a sudden we've seen like that result the other day. And then you think to yourself, this is where, like, the teams that know how to play at this end of the season, the top teams who've won it before, this is where you don't lose games like that, like how they did the other day, where you think, well, what are you doing? What's going on? This is where you batten down, you try to stay in games, and you win games so as you can get to the next 3 points and don't lose like that, especially at home. And this is where the inexperience comes in. This is what Arsenal experienced. You need to go through this period knowing we're fucking shit, man. It's not happening for us, but we're tight. We're not going to lose, and we might get one away, and then we might nick a goal, and then we could go back and say we were fucking lucky with that game.
But I think also Villa are experiencing that thing that Arsenal had last season, where they caught teams on the hop the first half of the year, and then all of a sudden teams adapted and started taking them a lot more seriously. Yeah. Not necessarily that they weren't taking them seriously before, but they become more switched on to what they do, I think you're going to see Villa maybe... I don't think they're going to like completely drop off, but I don't think they're going to be as strong the second half
that
of the season.
That high line, man, again, I'm telling
you. Well, Newcastle did a really good job actually on them on that high line.
I still feel that you know that they know they play the high line, right? Hmm. They've got to have something in place where, okay, we're high. The midfielders have got to be closer to people who are about to receive the ball so as they can't look up and just go bang. If you're playing a high line, the midfield has to get into that person's face so as they can't get their head up and see. Mm. But like sometimes you're looking up, they're not there. 2 yards is enough. Bam, put it over the top. Yeah. You're in. You're
and
in against them.
The
same
thing
with
is,
Spurs.
It's like even at the level that I played at, when you get the ball in that position, strikers were trained just like as soon as they see the eyes,
just
they're
bam,
off.
Yeah.
You're off. Yeah.
And at that level, you're just going to completely catch
teams. It's one of those that obviously they've got pace at the back. Mm. They have got pace, but like, If there's no real pressure on the ball, it's very difficult to stop that, and it can get right out of hand. All of a sudden, you're all over the place, and then bam, you see teams like you just keep getting through you because you haven't quite got it right.
Did you, as a striker, did you prefer playing against teams with high lines?
Absolutely.
Or was it like, don't care?
No. Absolutely, because you know the main thing, you don't care anyway because of who you've got backing you up. But the thing is that when it's the high line, you just know that. As if they just slip up a little bit and then they don't get in that place, I know Patrick or Manu or someone, they're going to get it into more if Dennis drops off.
Or even Paul Merson.
Exactly, Merson with the outside of his right foot. It's one of those, and we're talking about, you don't even need to be right in their face. If you're not close enough by the time they get the ball, they're putting it into you. Mm. So that was something that I had as a weapon. But then if it went deep, we still had players who can move the ball, Dennis and Merce, and you know, Patrick's good at under pressure, you know what I mean? So we could still open teams up with 1-2s or something like that. So I wasn't fussed either way, but of course, yeah, if a team's playing a high line, they're going to be in trouble.
Another question.
Go on.
Imagine Ian Wright is 27, currently playing in the Premier League, scores a goal at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Mm-hmm. Would you do the darts, Sally?
Yeah.
You definitely would. You were saying before, it's a bit of me.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a bit of me.
Yeah, but the thing is, the difference with me and him is that I could take it. I wouldn't come back for him.
Also,
once I've lost,
got,
I wouldn't come back for him.
You've got the numbers to back it up. You've got like...
True.
I don't want to drag Neil Mopé too much, but the guy is punching above his weight a little bit.
Wow.
No, he's playing in the Premier League. He's a good striker and his journey to this point has been impressive and he's a testament to Brentford's very good recruitment.
That's
the way that they
is.
Plucked him out and sent him on a path to the Premier League and whatever, but it didn't work out for him, Everton. Back where he kind of feels safe and comfortable. Brighton, it wasn't particularly incredible either, but I think the difference with Ian, and he's got the England caps, he's got the numbers and the golden boot to show for it.
The thing, what I would say before we stop
praise
on it,
from Flo like
I'll
you.
I'll take that. I'll
You're
take
welcome,
that.
Dad.
That's cool, sis. You know what I would say is that when I look at Neil Mopé, I still don't know what his main strengths are. And if we're going to really dig in, his main strength is the fact that he can get under people's skin.
Yeah, but that can be an asset, especially for a side like
Brentford.
Well,
this is why I think he uses Brentford, it like he does. He does use it like that because Brentford play a style of football that, you know, if you've got someone like him who's a pantomime villain and you're as tight and as organised as they are, and you can be a pantomime villain in that team because you can upset people. It's easy. I've seen it happen.
You know what he reminds me of so much, but this is such a random comparison. Do you remember Grant Holt? There's something so Grant Holty about Neil Mopé, which is just like this sort of like big-ish guy who throws himself around and is a bit of a pain in the ass.
Neil Mopé's not big, though, is he?
No.
Well, but he's like, he plays in that way. Well, he was at Norwich for ages.
Oh, that, yes.
He's 5'8".
Who is?
Grant Holt's much bigger than that.
As me.
But the way he throws himself around is like he's a big guy.
You're taller than Neil Mopé.
He's
173.
I feel I'm 5'8" and a half, 9 max with Red Wings.
5'10" in red rings.
But like, yeah, I want him to learn about it and be more humble about it. If you're going to be that guy, then take it when you get it. Mm. And so that you wait your turn.
I think the Instagram post was kind of like, yeah, I was all right, that's funny.
This is just turned into a Neil Mopay trash.
What it is, he should have just said, you know what, he could have left the post as, went a bit early on that one, and I would have said, yes, you did. Bam, done.
Tell me about it. Yes, you did. Fire emoji.
Yeah, dart emoji. And I said, yes, you did. And then, you know, I'd probably say something like, but your time will come.
A couple of other things on this game. Another goal for Ivan Toney.
Yes.
After missing one just before. Mm. Good finish, the second one. The actual one he finished. Yeah, and also, can I give some flowers?
Go on then, of course.
I want to give some flowers to Timo Werner.
Yeah. Yeah, free assist. No.
That was nearly a Jeanette. Yeah.
No, it wasn't a Jeanette. No, you know what? Because you think about it, you think to yourself, you know what? He does what he done at Chelsea. He works. He creates. He'll make things happen for you.
The assist for the Johnson goal was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
I thought he was really, really good all game. And he's kind of, because he's not being relied on as the main goal threat, you're seeing a lot of the good work that he does
also,
for any team
the
he plays
stats
in.
On yeah. two assists in his first two games. It's not he's a lot just, of people with those numbers.
He uses Steady. His pace. He uses it very well. And when he gets into those situations, of course, you know, he's finishing is something to that people will always criticise. But like what he does for the team.
Amazing.
He does it for the team. He works hard for the team. I totally understand the signing.
Yeah, quite a selfless
totally understand
player.
The signing. Yeah. Yeah.
And seems like a great guy. Like he always like seems like a good personality to have. Really good teammate.
Yeah.
You know who I really like as somebody that you just feel like when you're at school with this guy, he's just really so happy and jolly and full of bonhomie. Brennan Johnson. Even the way he done his celebration, he just reminded me of a little kid. Sorry. He reminded me of a little kid who's just like happy running away, skipping in the park.
Well, I think there's an 11 of players that we could probably do at some writer's house that you love them if they play for you, you hate them if they play against you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Mopay would be up front. I wonder if Johnson falls into that category a little bit.
Because you know, Mopay wouldn't make
like
my team. No.
He's a little bit like, I get...
No.
He seems lovely when he was interviewed, but on the pitch.
He is. Mopay wouldn't make that team because you need somebody like Flo said, who's... You have to kind of like, you have to respect him because you know he's got the numbers up there so he's basically...
Richarlison used to have much more of a...
Do you know who was actually one of the players who was... The biggest example of this in the last 5 years for me, who I could not stand, and I fucking love him now. Jorginho. Jorginho, I used to find him so annoying as a player. Yeah, but off the pitch, he comes across like unbelievable as well. Like,
I think
really
Madison
cool
has
guy.
A bit of that air Madison as well. Does. A lot of opposition fans do not like the guy. No. I think the fact he plays for England now helps a bit. Yeah. But he was Jamie Vardy, a lot of that as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I David Luiz was like that with me when he was at Chelsea.
But I think it was probably the other way around with David Luiz. David Luiz, like, everyone used to moan about him when he plays for your team.
Yeah, it's the opposite effect.
I quite liked him once.
I thought he was all right, man.
I like that one. Madison.
Madison's good.
Yeah.
Should we do it quick? Let's see if we can do it quick. Martinez in goal.
Absolutely. Martinez in goal.
Hands down. Captain as well. Make him captain.
Left back. Quick. Let's just do Premier League. Left back. Who's a...
Who's playing now, though?
Yeah.
Ben Chilwell has a little bit of
the
energy.
Nice.
Too nice.
Luke Shaw.
Zinchenko.
I was going to say Luke Shaw. Why am I saying Luke Shaw?
No, Luke Shaw.
Yeah, so we'll have Zinchenko there.
Yeah, Zinchenko. Centre-half.
Centre-half...
It's got to be someone who's like a bit physical, a little bit
Lewis
dark,
Dunk.
A little bit dark arts though.
Lewis Dunk's not dark arts.
Who's quite dark
Tarkovsky.
Artsy?
Tarkovsky.
Is he dark arts?
Yeah, you see him, especially when he does that tackle after the tackle.
Can I move? I was going to say Dan Burns left back though, isn't he?
Dan Burns. No, we could play him centre half.
We could play centre back.
Left arm.
Dan Burns, Tarkovsky as who's right back?
Right back, Adam Smith from Bournemouth. He really annoys me.
I was going to say, you could also put Ben White in there as well, actually.
Ben White's got that vibe as well.
The really slow throws, chuck him in there.
It's just, Ben White, I think. Ben White could annoy people just by smiling. That's a gift.
If we were going to do WSL as well, then Katie McCabe is going in there
100%. Oh, yeah. Just 11 Katie McCabes.
So centre midfield...
Jorginho.
Stick
him in there.
But I think maybe in this era, Jorginho is not so
bad.
What
about Paqueta? Because, like... for some reason, like the people, he gets a lot of stick.
Does he?
Do you know who is getting booed a lot of games? Bukayo Saka.
Yeah,
Opposition fans hate the guy.
Yeah, but you know
everywhere
what?
Everywhere he goes, it's just horrible.
Question yourself if you're booing Bukayo Saka.
You know what I mean? It's like one of the nicest people you'll ever. I get upset about it.
It's a very don't hate us because you ain't us.
If you got the shit kicked out of you that much, you'd go down.
Yeah.
Like, so we got Bruno Fernandes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Can I?
Anthony Gordon?
No, I like Anthony. I think Anthony's
okay.
He does
have trolley energy. He does have trolley energy.
Hang on, no, someone just came to me.
And then what, we're going with Charlison and Mopé up front?
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, we can play Fernandes in midfield.
Yeah.
What about, did we have another midfielder? Oh, yeah, Jorginho.
Can Anthony Martial be up there?
Really? I don't think he triggers enough emotion from other people.
Yeah, he's just a bit.
No. It doesn't make my blood boil.
No.
Like Richarlison and Mopé. They only have to come on and just have a normal face on, and I'm just like
trying to think of who irritates me.
On the right, who haven't we got on?
So we got Martinez in goal, Zinchenko, Dan Burn, Tarkowski,
Adam Smith, or Ben White,
Jorginho and Fernandes.
Jorginho and Fernandes in the centre of midfield.
We're playing a 4-4-2.
Yeah,
that's very trolly as well. Yeah. I like that.
Who was that?
Anthony Gordon.
On the right, on the left.
Just harsh, Anthony Gordon.
Okay, harsh.
I agree with Anthony Gordon. I agree with
Anthony Gordon.
Yeah,
but also, do you know what it might be?
He gives as good as he gets.
Yeah.
I think Andros Townsend could be in there.
What?
Because actually, I think I like Andros, but I think as an opposition player, he used to go for the
wind up merchant card.
Andros 8 years ago might go in. Now I think he's a little bit more universally loved.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
but he used to wind up his, and he's also like troll a little bit as well.
Mm.
But it's usually like wingers of lower table,
mid table wingers.
No, so we've got Richarlison, Mopé up front.
Who's on the right then?
Right,
we haven't got no one on the right.
I think a lot of people don't like Bukayo Saka.
Gonna see. Yeah, I mean, he. That's what.
You could probably put Mackay because he does. He does get booed everywhere.
Yeah,
away from home, he does.
And people think that he's diving.
Yeah,
exactly. People think
we can put Bukayo in there.
Yeah, not. Yeah, we don't like it.
What about Kai?
Kai, nah. No, I don't think
he's more laughing rather than hating.
I think if fans of your own club give you shit, I think that voids you from being included.
You got a free pass.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that, Levin. That's fun.
Yeah, we'll keep. Yeah, we did it.
We did it really well. Should we go?
Should we bounce?
You got to go play golf, man.
Yeah, I'm going to just see if this could be the day.
The
day that it happens.
The day it all finally comes together. Years of work.
Yeah. Could be today. I've got a couple of things I'm working on. So
you're going to shoot under par?
Fingers crossed.
Have you ever shot under par?
No, level par. At, where was it? Brockett Hall.
Nice.
On the Melbourne. Last hole over water, par 5. I did it. I had to make par to go level. I was emotional.
Are you getting emotional now?
I wish I was there.
Wow.
And I haven't even got the swing that I think I've got now. So we'll see how it goes.
Watch out, world.
I hope you do well. Let me know.
Thank you very much, Ryan Hun. Thank you very much, Flo. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back on Monday after the Arsenal game. Fingers crossed we can do well. We're going to have Vilile Nyandu coming back on the show as well because he was so popular. So I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully we can all have a great weekend. Until then, see you later, everybody.